Do you have questions?
Also, water use.
Okay.
In the area and. But yeah, if you have.
Yes, water, I have. I have lots of stuff on water.
And I don't want to cut off what you were talking about.
No, that's fine. I think it's really important to understand that water use is related to commercialization of agriculture. And basically, you can't divide water from the land. I mean, that whatever happened to the land is what happens to water. The San Luis Valley is distinct because we're the headwaters. So what we do here in the headwaters affects what happens downstream. And that first area that's impacted is northern New Mexico. In the 1870s in the San Luis Valley, and the San Luis Valley is approximately 100 miles long by 75 miles wide, and it's the largest intermountain basin in the West that's agricultural. When people started coming into the San Luis Valley, newcomers, what we're calling newcomers, which were Midwest farmers, and many of them were German and Scandinavian, many of them started to homestead under the Homestead Act, and they settled in three areas early on: Mosca, Hooper, and Moffett, which is at the northern end of the San Luis Valley. And again, their goal was to raise wheat because that's what they knew in the Midwest. Many of these people had 160 acres, which is equals roughly four farms per square mile. But compared to the Latino farmers, which was about 40 acres in long lots, long narrow lots, these were huge squares with 160 acres. And again, 160 acres, so there's four farms. So that there was more, the development was more concentrated in areas that were influenced, that had American influence, as opposed to the small stakeholders in Costilla and Conejos County. One of the big, again, this T.C. Henry, who had started this Colorado Loan and Trust Company of Denver, he built these large canals that I mentioned, and one of them was called the Empire. Again, it was the first canal. It was the largest canal in the U.S. at the time that it was built. It was 80 feet wide on the bottom and 110 feet wide on top. And it took 4 months to construct 3,500 men and 2,000 teams of horses. That's a lot of water to control. And somebody's going to get impacted. And the people that got impacted were in New Mexico. So, you know, and again, this is the 1882s. That was the irrigation. That was the time of large irrigation canal building. But that also correlated to the entrance of the railroad and to new immigration and to American land tenure practices, which was oriented towards commercialization and to monocropping. There were problems. In 1880, there were 131,475 acres of irrigation in the San Luis Valley. In 1892, there were 398,305 irrigated acres. By 1929, there was 736,477 irrigated acres. The only time that the acreage declined was during the Great Depression, and it declined to 699,000 acres. In 1998, in contemporary times, there's 630,000 acres under irrigation in the San Luis Valley.
So it's back to Depression era.
Although it's the only reason it's back to Depression era levels, it's because the state had to control the number of wells. But it just shows that between 1880 until 1929, the numbers of acres irrigated were just going up. And a lot of what had happened in 1929 is a lot of out-migration to the urban area. Mm-hmm. So if it's lower, it's not only the control of water, but also it's trends to urbanization as opposed to being living in a rural area. The San Luis Valley, you have to know, is even though it's a large area, again, 100 miles long by 75 miles wide, I don't know what the new census figures are, but probably 50,000, maybe 60 at the most. We have to like check the census data on that.
Could you tell me again what the, because this was from a previous interview, but what the absentee landowner population is?
I'll talk about that in Costilla County. Okay. I'll talk about that. Okay. That'll come up. Basically, in the 1890s, you know, when we started having all of these big commercialized wells, and it wasn't only commercialized wells, they were selling water shares. So they not only commercialized it, but they made a water into capital. It is in the arid West. I mean, you know, water runs to money. So that principle happened early on, and farmers that came from areas that were you know, in the Midwest where there was a lot of rain, coming to an arid upland that there's less rain, that was something that just happened, and it happened early, where land and commercialization of land and commercialization of agricultural land, agriculture, and stock raising, there's still the bottom line is water, because unless you have water, you really cannot have, you cannot people the West, and especially the arid Southwest. In the 1880s, in the 1890s, because of this, of the commercialization, of the rapid commercialization of land and livestock raising, there were, in the San Luis Valley, it caused water shortages along the Rio Grande at Mesilla and El Paso and the people near Juarez. And so there was a big problem, and there was complaints to the Mexican government, and there was a claim for damage was filed in the United States because of what had happened in mostly the San Luis Valley, but also in New Mexico because of the damming of the water. There was a boundary commission and that had created an embargo in 1896, and there was a treaty in 1906, and the embargo was ordered by the Secretary of the Interior to prevent further irrigation development in the Rio Grande Basin in Colorado and in New Mexico because of this overuse of water. It was impacting Mexico. You know, and Mexico was downstream. We were the headwaters. But a lot of this came out of the San Luis Valley. But not totally, but a lot of it came out of here. I have these pages numbered. Sorry. Let's see.
I may at some point have a battery problem, so I'll
okay.
Know when that happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me see here. Okay, let me go back again, back to water. Mm-hmm. So water does not just come from the Rio Grande. Also in the San Luis Valley, it's kind of ironic because we are sitting on a huge aquifer, an aquifer that is larger than the Ocala Aquifer. So farmers were not only taking water and building large canals to capture the water from the Rio Grande, they also discovered the confined aquifer in 1887, just about the time that they were making all these large canals to divert water from the Rio Grande, and because they had all of this monocropping, mainly wheat and oats, and that ended up impacting the water levels for people downstream in New Mexico and ultimately in Juarez. When they discovered the confined aquifer, and we have three aquifers in the San Luis Valley, we're sitting on this, you know, this huge amount of water. We don't even know how much we're sitting on. They just can guesstimate. They started drilling wells into the aquifer, again, based in about 1887. Okay, for example, by 1891, there were 2,000 artesian wells in the valley. In 1904, there were 3,234 flowing wells. In 1916, the number of wells increased to 5,000. In 1936, there were 6,074 whales. In 1958, there were 7,500 whales. It was just growing exponentially. And not only taking, you know, not only irrigating and taking irrigation water out of the Rio Grande and impounding water in reservoirs, which they did stop the reservoir building for a while. Finally, in 1972, the state engineer imposed a moratorium on well permits for new appropriations. In 1981, the moratorium for new well permits from the unconfined aquifer, they stopped more permits from the unconfined aquifer. In 1998, there was approximately 628,000 acre feet for irrigation water out of the valley.